Good evening, and we greet you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior. I'm going to assume tonight that you ladies do most of the grocery shopping, okay? And so let's think about those times when there's a really good sale going on, and you really want to go there and stock up on this item. But your week happens as it does sometimes. You can't get there till about the last day of the sale. You rush in there to that aisle, and it's sold out. Shelves are empty. What a letdown, right? Sold out. Nothing. And you look way at the back. Surely somewhere. Nothing. The shelves are empty of that item. So if you want a title for tonight, it's sold out. Let's change gears just a little bit, and let's, kind of in the same line, but let's think about when you purchase something, anything, from a pack of gum to a tool to whatever, you purchase that, you pay the price, then it's yours, right? You get to decide how it's used, or if it's used, or if you're just going to put it somewhere, put it away and save it. Or who uses it? Am I going to just use it myself, or am I going to loan it out? It's yours. You paid the price for it. It's yours. You're the owner, right? We understand that principle? That's pretty simple. For example, I work at Coppice Commons. And I'm not Coppice Commons, Coppice Napanee. They're right side by side at the cabinet shop. And I'm not the owner. I'm just one of the employees. But we have lots of good machinery there. And I didn't pay for that machinery, but I'm allowed to use it, but it's my bosses that determine who runs the sander planer, because we've run into some issues and some things have happened where it's some costly repairs, right? So they get to decide. They're the owners. They paid or are paying for that machine. They can make a list of people. Okay, this employee, this one get to run this machine, but the rest of you better not. You don't have the training you need. They can decide that because it's theirs. One thing I'd probably better not do for sure, since I'm just an employee, is go to the competition on down the highway and let one of the air cabinet employees come in and use our CNC. I better not do that, right? I don't have the authority to do that because I've not paid for that machinery. I've not paid for those tools. So I think you understand the concept. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want all of us to read this out loud together. I think it sinks into our mind just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 6, there's two verses there that I want us to read together. Thinking about these two concepts of being sold out, and when you buy something, it's yours. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19 and 20. Okay, let's all read it together. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What do you think? There's four truths right here, very evident, clear truths in these two verses. First thing that he says, don't you know that your body, your literal body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? So that's truth number one. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a follower of Christ, your body is the dwelling place of God by his Holy Spirit. So that's truth number one. Number two, then it says at the end of verse 19, ye are not your own. You're not your own owner, okay? Somebody else owns you. And the next two points bring that out. Verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. That's the third truth. You're bought with a price. Somebody paid an extremely high price for you as a believer. And the number four is my body, literal body, and my spirit, my rational soul, my intellect, what I think with, body and spirit are God's. Those four truths. God dwells within you as a believer. You don't own yourself. God paid the price for you, very high price, the blood of his son Jesus. And therefore, your body, my body, and spirit are God's. Now think back again about that truth. When we buy something, it's our own, and we get to decide how to use it, when to use it, how often it gets used. Did your life display that this past week? Did it display that you are owned by God? Are you sold out to God? Is there nothing left on that back shelf of your heart, any area of your life back there? You see, when we're bought, when we are bought by God, how do I say this in a good way? It demands a high price from us. Back in the 1900s, when I was growing up, and a few of you, I went down to Fresh Start there in southern Indiana for a term of voluntary service for about 2.5 years. And I came back home for a year, and in that time, I happened to notice this young lady that came with me to church tonight. And so we started a relationship, and throughout that next year, we were dating, and we were at the point where we thought there might be a future here, and we were taking it pretty seriously. And then Fresh Start calls me again, and they said, would you consider coming down for another term and helping us get the second phase of the program started, that kind of thing? And I felt like a pretty high price. I was just sure she was going to just say, they don't want a long-distance relationship. I don't know why I thought that way, but that's what was going through my mind. So I faced the test, the calling of God. You know, was I my own or was I God's? What was I going to do? And so we had a talk, and she didn't bail out on me. But even bigger test was within the first week, one of the first evenings that I had moved down there, and I was in a dorm getting ready for a night's rest, and the Lord started speaking to me. The Lord started asking me a question, and it just felt like he was asking me, are you willing to serve me for the rest of your life? Like, voluntary service. And I'm just like, that's a high cost. That's like giving somebody a blank check, and he gets to fill it out. And I wrestled with that, but I couldn't go to sleep until I had that matter settled. So when we're sold out to God, if we're really bought by God, and we take that seriously, God knows how to lay his finger on that one area in your life where maybe we're tempted to hold back. And so are you sold out? Is God actually your owner? What are some of those things that we face in everyday life? It can be all kinds of things, and I don't know what you faced even in the last week, but what about when it comes to spending your money, whether it's a big purchase price item or something smaller? Is it your right to spend your money how you want to? Or should you talk with your owner? What about when that co-worker that you've been praying for and he asks if you can help him with a project and you just don't really have the time? Is your time yours? Or are you sold out? It's just all kinds of things. And it comes down, there's things that we consider our rights, you know, like I said, our money, our time. Sometimes it's my plan. Sometimes we go into a day or a week and we have, things are scheduled. We have plans. Do we have time in the middle of those plans and things that we need to get done for the people, the interruptions that come our way, other people that maybe are seeking. Maybe it's just somebody that's struggling. But do we have time in our schedule, or is it, you know, are we our own or are we God's? Do we think about those things? Sometimes, and this is something that I've struggled with, I know that I should be serving God, and I do love to serve others if I get to choose how to do it. Sometimes I don't like the options that God brings up. I want to choose how I'm going to serve. And so maybe that's a test, my choice of ministry or service. And those weeks, the past couple weeks have been really hot, and maybe you've been working out on a job and you're just wore out when you come home, and now it's time for your wife to take care of your needs, right? And you just get the kick back, or do we have time for others? It's all kinds of things, but it's in everyday life. When we live, are we our own or are we sold out? Are we, you know, what is God asking of us? And those rites are often a testing point in our life. You know, it, you just can't say it much more clearly than this verse says it. Ye are not your own. And you know what? Jesus told us to consider the cost. When we consider serving him, he wants us to consider that cost. That's something we have to look at. It's something we have to honestly face and say, am I going to be willing to do whatever? Whatever he asks me, and maybe that's more scary for some of you that are your age, you know, youth, and you're facing life, and it's just looming out there ahead of you, and you have some dreams, you have some desires, and you're not sure yet what all is going to happen. If you're like I was when I was your age, that was hard. That was hard to think about that, to just surrender all of that, because there's all those what ifs. Are you bought? Are you sold out? Or is there still something left on the shelf? Is there one area in your life where it's like, well, God, you can have, you know, this 85%, but this one area, I just don't know. Not quite sure. Basically, we're saying we can't quite trust him with it. And it's not just youth that struggle with that. And maybe you think, well, preacher man, you're being just a little dramatic about all that. Let's see what Jesus said. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Just read a couple verses there. Because Jesus talked about this principle too, and he said it in a little different way. Luke 14, verses 26 and 27, and then jumping down to 33. This is how Jesus stated it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife or children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross come after me cannot be my disciple. And then in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's some pretty strong words, isn't it? A lot of cannot. If you don't do this a certain way, then you cannot be my disciple. Now, I think we all understand Jesus wasn't saying that we literally hate our family. But we love less than. We love our family less than we love God. And sometimes his demands on us put that to the test. And I don't know how that looks or will look in your life as you go on, but for Abraham, we know the test that was given to him. Genesis 22, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Was he saying, here I am, I'm sold out? I don't know, maybe he was. And he said, God speaking now, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Don't tell me that Abraham didn't have a lot of questions going through his mind. Child sacrifice was for the heathens. God, what are people going to say? God, this is the son that I waited over 20 years for. Sacrifice him? It doesn't even make sense. God, you're unreasonable. I don't know. I don't know if he thought those things, but if he was a man, which his story sure sounds like it, I'm sure he thought some of those things. But what did he do? He was sold out. He says the next morning, he just got right on it and he took off. Hebrews gives us a glimpse into his life, and it says that he, now I can't say it, something to the effect that he just knew that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He just trusted God. That test just kind of leaves me with shaking my head. I'm not sure I could have passed that one. But God knows, like I said before, God knows where that touch point is in your life. What is that last bit that's hard to give up? And so I don't know. I don't know you all that well, so I don't know what those points are. But I do know, I'm acquainted with a young man that when he became serious about following God, the greater portion of his family just basically turned against him. And most of them were professing Christians. They said, we want the old person back. We don't like him the way he is now. I heard one of the family members say that. And right to his face, they were like that. That was a high cost. I know a man, when he was a young man there in Belize, he basically was turned out of his home at 13, and he just lived a very rough life. Got into gangs, drugs, immorality, and just the whole thing. But when he became a Christian and was starting to be discipled and was trying to get out of some of those old things, he gave up a very good-paying job, which it was hard to get. He was working at a plywood factory there in Belize, and just for a reference point, a carpenter, when we first moved down there in 2007, a carpenter working hard with only a few basic tools could make maybe $10 U.S. in a day. And he had a good-paying job at the plywood factory. But he gave it up so that he could get away from some of those influences, some of those evil things in his life he was trying to change. That's what it cost him. Today, he's one of the ministers there at the Mission Church. And God has blessed his life. I'm sure that he's not sad that he gave that up. Years ago, I attended an auction where a family literally sold out. It was in Ohio. They were selling everything, property, furniture, the whole bit. And they went to voluntary service for the rest of their life. You know, God doesn't call us all to the same thing. And so I don't know what he's asking for you. But to love God more than mother and father, brother and sister, family, yea, and even your own life also. That's probably the hardest test. Because we have dreams. We have things that we want to do and things that are hard for us to give up. But God's asking for that because he paid the price. Letting go of those not only things that we want, but even things that are right and good, but we have to be willing to follow God wholeheartedly. In 1 Corinthians 9, I'm not going to read much there, but if you want to read through a chapter that talks about rights and things, Paul's talking about things that he and I think it was Barnabas could have, they had a right to, and yet he was willing to give that up. I just want to read one verse that he says. He had mentioned different things that they would have the right to be married like some of the other apostles. They would have had the right to be supported by the church, all those things. And yet he said, I think it was verse 12 that I wanted, if others be partakers of this power or authority or right over you, are not we also? Nevertheless, we have not used this power or this right, but we suffer all things. Why? Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul had his priorities in the right place, and he was willing to give up those rights, things that he could have demanded. He could have demanded that the church support them. He wouldn't have had to keep on making tents. And yet, it's just a good example. And, of course, Christ sets the best example of all. He said at different times, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, the will of my Father in heaven. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Maybe if we find ourselves facing a really hard test, maybe it's because my will, it is because my will is not in alignment with God, God's will. And so we're not agreed, and that's why I find myself going separate ways. And you know what? I think we can take comfort in this when it says that Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet he passed the test. When he was in the garden, he said, Father, is there any way that this cup can pass from me? He was looking for another way, and then he said those famous words, not my will. So he had a will in the matter. He wanted to be able to, you know, he as a man, if I understand it right, would have wanted some other way, and yet he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he was willing to lay that down, and we're the beneficiaries of that. And yet, now he's turning around and asking us to live the same way. But he led the way. He showed us how. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. I've tried that. I've tried living half on, half off, keeping one or two items back here on the shelf. It doesn't work. It's not a good life. You're not happy. So is what if we live this life, are we just the martyrs? And we're just so, life is so, you know, I just gave up this and I gave up that. And we just, no joy? No, that's not how it is. Jesus, you know, Peter, he was actually concerned about it. He says, Lord, we've left all. Well, what about us? And Jesus said this. You find in Luke 18, 29 and 30. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. You get blessings in both lives, the life now and the life to come. You won't find any more peace than when you're living a surrendered life to God. You won't find more fulfillment than when, yes, it costs you when you have to lay down your plans and go do something for someone else. And yet, in the end, there's that fulfillment, right? You know how it is. But when we're facing it, it looks big. And the devil wants to paint a dark picture. There's joy when we can live a life that is sold out. Nothing left on the shelf. I don't think there's going to be any one of us on our deathbed, if we're still cognizant, able to think clearly, I don't think there's going to be any one of us that are going to say, you know what, I wish I would have held back on God just a little bit more and just done what I wanted to do. We're not going to be thinking that way at all. We're going to be glad as we face eternity. We're just going to be glad. Probably going to be wishing we would have done more, if anything. So maybe as we think about that, I just want to encourage you to make sure that you're sold out. Is there anything that you're holding back? Is God getting everything he paid for when he purchased you? May God bless you as you serve him faithfully.